Hey guys, it's Adam Callow from Expert Trades here. And before we get into today's show, I just wanted to share something with you because today I have the pleasure of interviewing Which Trusted Traders endorsement scheme on the episode. And as many of you may know, at Expert Trades, we have our own trade directory because we're on a mission to help you run that professional and profitable business and give you the tools, services, and relationships you need to make that happen. Now, the reason I was not only happy but also excited to do this interview is we've always had a lot of respect for how Which Trusted Traders run their application process through trading standards and their real focus on compliance. They have a very strong consumer-facing brand and using that to support trades professionals. Just wanted to put that out there. Enjoy today's show and don't forget to stick around to the end because we have a really compelling offer for you in case you are interested in joining Which Trusted Traders. Enjoy.
The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Electrician's Podcast, sponsored by our friends over at Schneider Electric. My name is Adam Callow. I'm the founder and CEO of Expert Trades. And today, I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by Which Trusted Traders endorsement scheme. And before we get into the nature of today's show, let's just introduce you to who I'm on the mics with. Poppy, do you want to kick us off?
Yes. Hi, I'm Poppy Hynum. I'm the partnership manager for Which Trusted Traders. I look after the relationship with Schneider Electric and various other trade schemes in the market.
Perfect. Appreciate it. Alex?
Hi, my name's Alex Manners. I'm a premier account manager here at Which Trusted Traders. I work with our retail brand partners and approved services. I work with them on their marketing. I help them with engagement and I also help to make sure they get a return on investment whilst on the scheme.
Brilliant stuff. And last but definitely not least, Phil.
Hi, I'm Phil Thomas. I'm the head of quality assurance. And my role is to make sure that traders that are in the scheme meet the standards that we expect. All the reviews that are left by consumers are genuine, honest, and not fake, and that all the complaints that consumers leave, we try to resolve for them.
Perfect stuff. Well, guys, it's great to have you on today's show. And I guess from my side, and it's just more of a level of intrigue because people that know my background know that we know about this space and we operate in this space. What was the conception of why Which and that brand entered into the trusted tradesman space? Who's best to pick that up from your side? I'm just curious to why this all started, really.
Yeah, I'll pick that up. So the reason why Which got into this space was because they recognized that when you know, it's the biggest area of consumer detriment. I think when Which entered this marketplace is about £4 billion. It's gone up to somewhere around £8.5 billion. Of consumer detriment in here. We all know that when we're looking for a builder, particularly if you're having a big house extension, it's a big deal, and it can be such a big and emotional thing. And you want to find the right trader. You don't want to be ripped off. And there are so many bad traders out there, and so many rogue traders that Which, as a consumer organization and the champion for consumers, wanted to find a way in which it could direct consumers to honest, reliable, competent traders. So it set up Which Trusted Traders in order for consumers to be able to find traders who are going to do a good job and treat them fairly.
And you talk about that, just so I got the numbers right, it was £8 billion.
Yes, £8 billion of consumer detriment.
And just out of curiosity, have you guys got any insight in terms of, I guess, how that money is being, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Lost?
I can give you some examples of areas where, real consumer detriment. So there's obviously consumer detriment when a trader will walk off a site halfway through. There'll be consumer detriment where they've done a really bad job and you've got to pay to have it all redone, and to get a job redone costs you a lot more than getting it done in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if somebody's built an extension, you've got to knock it down and rebuild it. You've got the knockdown costs and then the rebuild costs as well. But there's some real harrowing ones where people, particularly the ones where people have traders knock on their door, and they offer to do things like tarmac their drive. They quote a price, it seems very reasonable. They do a very shoddy job. And then they'll follow you or take you to the bank. And these are normally vulnerable consumers. They'll take you to the bank and they'll get you to withdraw as much money as you've got pretty much within that bank. And then they'll scarper off of your money. Or worse still, you then become on a list, and then you become known as a place where it's a soft touch. So you'll then be attract distraction burglars, all sorts of things. So there's some real crime around you start off maybe with somebody coming to clean your gutters or block tarmac your drive or do some roof work or do some gardening. And you can end up being a victim of true crime. So, there's some real detriment there.
And I think one thing from my observation is this has probably been going on a lot longer than people understand. But now we've got the power of the internet and platforms and social media that this is probably just having a bit more of a spotlight on it. So I guess from a consumer's perspective is when they see stuff, and you mentioned something like rogue traders, when this is amplified in the media, what's the knock-on effect? What are consumers doing differently now in terms of how they're finding trades professionals? Because I guess the point you're alluding to there, Phil, is there's a lot of money lost in the system, lost, stolen, you choose the word, in the system. And naturally what happens is consumers get a little bit savvier. Have you got any examples? And I'm not sure who to point this over to, who might look after this. I guess examples of how consumers might be acting differently in terms of how they actually go and hire a trades professional today.
Yeah, of course, Adam. I think there's a range of things that we at Which recommend to consumers to look out for, and also things to do to protect themselves when engaging the services of tradesmen. So I think it might be helpful just to sort of educate, especially if you're a trader listening, what we encourage consumers to look out for. So firstly, we recommend that consumers get at least 3 quotes, possibly more if it's a major project, such as maybe a house rewiring. Next, we would encourage consumers to look at a trader's previous work. So whilst online reviews can build a picture, they can be skewed. A good trader should be able to provide a list of former customers that they can speak to, or to have various review outlets online that they can read through. We also tell consumers to keep an eye on a trader's availability. Generally, I think you'll agree that great tradespeople are less likely to be free at a moment's notice. So this is something to keep an eye on. We also recommend looking for a trader that is registered with an accredited body, such as NIC, EIC, NAPIT or Stroma, and is also registered with an alternative dispute resolution scheme, which all Which Trusted traders will be signed up to whilst they join. We provide information around the benefits of using a business with an ADR, as it provides extra protection should any complaints arise, which is typically what all customers are afraid of. We also recommend checking company's house to check how long a business has been trading. The longer the better, usually, and check whether they're financially healthy and have no intentions to dissolve or not to liquidate. Also, most importantly, get everything in writing. It's a lot easier to untangle problems if you have a solid paper trail. This includes details of the work to be carried out, materials needed, the timings and the cost. If this is an estimate, ask what could increase and by how much, so you have a full picture before the job starts. And finally, always pay by card if possible. If there is a problem, there are extra protections, either with your credit card company if the work costs between £100 and £30,000, or a chargeback scheme which applies to debit and credit card transactions of any value.
So hearing all that, especially from the lens of a consumer, there's quite a lot of things that need to be done, to be honest with you. And one thing that was going through my head is, do I need to do this if I just want a tap changed? Are we talking about if I'm spending £10,000 on a new conservatory? Where do you guys see, is this a use your logic in terms of how much money you're spending on a job to how much due diligence you do on a customer?
I would say you're right. I mean, if you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds on a job, you want to make sure it's the right person for that job as opposed to fixing a tap. But even that, you want to make sure that the right person's in your house you know, bear in mind they're going to come into your house and do work in your house. You want to make sure that you know who it is and that you've done some research and you're comfortable with them being in your house. So everything that Alex said, you know, it probably applies even if you're just having a tap switched over, really.
And someone like myself who thinks, wow, that's a lot of work, I'd rather just try my chances. I understand that you guys play a space in this field to sort of take away some of that. So we've looked at it from a consumer lens, which I think is important. But the only reason we're really addressing it from a consumer lens is because consumers are being trained, the stuff that Alex just spoke about. So trades professionals on the other side of it, they need to be armed with this. They need to be one step ahead of the game. They need to be positioning themselves in front of consumers in the right way. How does Which Trusted Traders support with the stuff that Alex was just talking about? Like, where do you guys come into this?
Well, in terms of what we do to make sure our the traders that are in our scheme are competent and professional is by assessing them. So anybody that wants to become a Which Trusted Trader will get an assessment from a trading standards professional. They'll go out, they'll look through the procedures that business has in the way it operates, and will make recommendations or give actions to help that business, and actually, you know, it'll help that business in to reduce the number of complaints it's got and the way, you know, and the cost of complaint handling. We also look at their insurance, businesses' insurance, to make sure that their insurance is adequate for the work they do. And believe it or not, we found roofers who have had height restrictions, which meant they couldn't work above 3 meters. So they were really good at re-roofing Wendy houses, but nothing else. We look at all sorts of things, go through their terms and conditions to make sure their terms and conditions are fair. We look through their paperwork to make sure that the paperwork's got all the right information in it. Yeah, we advise them to have write down a detailed quote about what they're going to do, because if you provide lots of information about and really clear about what you're going to do for a consumer, the consumer will have more confidence in you, and also you know you've just got to do that and you're going to get paid. So it's, yeah, it works. The advice we give works both for the consumer and for the trader in terms of making that relationship better, and ultimately a much more satisfied customer, and therefore a trader that gets paid and gets recommended as well. We also look through their competencies to make sure they're competent. We look through the way they manage their work. We look through if they need to give cancellation rights. We look through the way they, if they need to have any other licenses in place. And then we take references from their previous customers. So they have to go through all of this before they can become a Which Trusted Trader. And you know, normally they'll get a number of actions to do to bring them into meet the standards of our scheme, but in some cases actually bringing them into legal compliance.
Now, I've worked with trades professionals for, I guess, my whole career, really, for like the last 13 years. And I can hear a lot of voice in my head thinking, oh, you've just listed a lot of stuff for me to do, Phil. Like, there's a lot of things. And right now I'm okay. I've got work booked in for the next 4 or 8 weeks. When you hear this as a company, because you must hear this a lot, because there's a desire to, I think Alex mentioned earlier, there's a desire to have the best in caliber trades professionals on your endorsement scheme. How do you navigate that conversation when people say, I'm busy enough, I don't need to be part of your scheme?
I think I'll take this one, guys. We get that a lot, of course. And I think, you know, this scheme, it's not for everybody, be completely honest. You know, it's around quality and it's around helping your business to stand out. So going through that journey of, you know, reaching legal compliance and going through our assessment, I think we're so unique in the market that there's not a lot of organizations out there that do what we do. We do generally care about your business, and we're there to make sure that there aren't any loopholes in it, that you're aware of everything out there legally that could, you know, potentially get you ended up in hot water at some point, which of course you don't ever want to be. You know, you want to make sure that what you're giving out is legally compliant. You want to make sure that there's no gaps in it. And you want to make sure that, you know, as Alex mentioned earlier on, there are savvy customers out there that know their rights. And there are times when, you know, if you don't give out a piece of paper and get a signature, you could actually leave yourself wide open to not get paid at some point. So it's about education, and it's about, you know, working with these businesses to actually highlight things in the industry that, the bottom line is, you know, you'll go to your, you know, you become an apprentice or you go to college, you know, you learn the skills of being an electrician, but nobody actually teaches you how to run a business. And nobody teaches you about those solid things that you need in place to be able to run a successful compliant business. You know, you can do great work all day long, but if something goes wrong and you've not covered yourself, then you can end up in a much worse position than, you know, if you had that information. And I think that is exactly where we come in. As mentioned, you know, it isn't for everybody, but it's for those guys that they know they're doing a good job. You know, you could be trading for 30 years or you could be trading for 1 year. The benefit is exactly the same to all businesses. Everybody comes through this scheme and they say, I learned something. It could be one thing. It could be 10 things. It could be way more than that. You know, our assessments can go on for an hour. They could go on for 3 hours. It depends on how much value that that business really wants to get out of it. So I'd say, we absolutely come across that, but the value to be taken from that assessment isn't, it's not just at face value. It's far more than that. And there's a lot more to gain from having that great advice with a trading standards person for an hour of your time. It could save you a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there that I think is worth unpacking as well, Poppy, and I appreciate the answer as well. For people that know me personally, I'm a big advocate that I personally believe there's a lot of fantastic trades professionals out there, but it's often the few that create such a bad name for this industry. And it's really hard to shake that bad name, especially when you've got TV programs that like to get clicks and amplify the rogue traders. So I think there are so many trades professionals that want to do a great job. And I've always said, and I personally classify trades professionals as accidental business owners because they love their craft. They love being on the tools. They love laying down paving or putting fixtures on walls. And then they wake up one day and go, what's a VAT return? Oh my word, I've got no money in the bank, but I've done lots of work. I haven't been raising my invoices or I'm not covered with the right insurances. So completely agree with your point there that there are great trades that potentially leaving themselves exposed just because there's elements of running a business that they're not aware of. And I guess my job on this podcast is always to bring out some value for people that are listening. So I would love to sort of hear from any of you guys that what's the let's just try and find three top tips for trades professionals listening to this that, yes, there's an opportunity and we will talk about this at the end, guys, because we do have a fantastic promotion in partnership with Schneider and Which Trusted Traders. But some people might want to just get, actually, I'm listening now. What should I be looking at now? Poppy just highlighted that I might be in hot water because I've realized that I don't have these things in place. What are the things that trades professionals need in place as core basics that they should be thinking about today?
So I would say make sure that you've got a really detailed quote. So your customers know exactly what it is you're going to be doing for them. And if things go wrong, tackle it straight away. You know, we know that people don't get it right all the time. Not every job goes well, but you know, if it does, just act quickly and try and resolve it with the customer. And to be perfectly honest, that you know, if you do that, then I think you're going to have a pretty successful career and a pretty successful business, because they're the two critical things, really. Making sure the customer knows what they're going to get for their money, and if things go wrong, tackling it. If you could do those two things, then I don't think you're going to go far wrong, really. Obviously, we would say be a Which Trusted trader, because that will make you stand out, and you get to use the Which badge, which people recognise, and they'll recognise that you've got an accreditation to the Premier Consumer Association out there.
Phil, what I think's interesting is when most of, and it happens in our own community, when people think about having a detailed quote, they often think my customer's becoming a pain. They've asked for a very detailed quote and they don't think about the protection that happens on the other side of it. As a trades professional, by detailing your quote, it's acting as a, let's put this on the table. We're agreeing to this scope of work. This is what we're doing. It's not, I'm going to fit this and here's the cost, because that can be read and misinterpreted in so many different ways. And that often leads to that conflict. So I think there's definitely a benefit from a trade side to when you are thinking about quotes. You're not just detailing it and you're not putting the admin in just for the consumer. You're doing it for your own protection.
Absolutely. I mean, if heaven forbid, the worst, absolute worst case scenario, you end up in having to, be in a court situation, a small claim with your customer. The court will take into account what's been said, because they can't add any weight to that. All they can see is what's been written. And if you haven't got a detailed quote, and we're talking about making sure that it's really clear about what you're going to do and what the materials are you're going to supply. If you've got that, then it's worth its weight in gold. It really is.
Completely agree. And I'm going to vamp for a second and let someone think of top tip number three. So we've got number one, which is detailed quotes, protect the consumer as well as the trade, as well as you guys listen to this, you sparks in this audience. It's not just about the consumer being a pain, it's also protecting you. Secondly, when things go wrong, tackle it head on and open a line of communication. Speak to your customers. No one expects you to be perfect. Pick up the phone, deal with it. It's about service start to finish, not just when things are going well. Number three, and I'm going to, Phil, you've covered one and two, so I'm going to lean on Alex or Poppy. What's the next thing that people should be thinking about when they listen to this podcast today?
I'll go for this one, Adam. And this is a big one for me. It's before and after photographs. And, we would always recommend taking a picture of before the work commences and during and afterwards. And if you can do that, you're going to cover yourself for those complaints that might not even necessarily be about the job. It might be about, you've cracked a window, or you've dropped some paint on the drive. It could be absolutely anything that you might have done, or you've scratched the wall around the electrical unit that you were working on. If you've got that photographic evidence there to say this was the job beforehand, this is the job during, this is what I've done afterwards, and you send those to the customer and you just get like a text message back or a WhatsApp back from them or an email, whatever it might be, always get it in writing. But you just want to get that response from them just to say that they're happy with that job being completed. Because again, if it goes back to, if you were to end up in a small claims court, again, you've got that to rely on. You've got that documented evidence to say, this was the timeline, this is the journey. There's the text message saying that they were happy with it, that there were no issues. And then, in my perspective, you're sorted. You've got as much as you can possibly do to win that case should anything happen.
Perfect. And it's two birds with one stone, because I don't think enough trade professionals take photos of their work for their social media, for their website. And it's the before photo. It's the transformation. And people are listening to this thinking, well, I'm an electrician. How fun is a old fuse board compared to a new fuse board? But try and be creative, especially those of you that are doing EV. As a small anecdote, I actually know a member of our community who every time they're doing a piece of work, they'll hold the camera on their chest and just say, oh, to the customer, I'm just going to walk through the areas I'm going to work on. I'm just going to walk through for before and after. And that's for my personal records. Nothing's going to hit social media. So they actually put the camera on their chest, video, and walk through everywhere that they are going to interact with in the property. And that's purely just to protect them. That's purely just in case something crops up in the future, I can prove that when I entered this property, when I left this property, that window wasn't cracked, to your example. Appreciate you guys with those top tips. Moving on to specifically what you guys offer. What's the pitch right now? Let's get it on the podcast. I don't often offer the opportunity to just give it the pitch, but we have a lot of electricians that listen to this. They're going to be thinking right now is, well, I've heard some great stuff. I've heard Alex talk about all the stuff that consumers are thinking about. Phil's talked about all the stuff that the program does. But if I had to summarize for an electrician right now, like, why should they think about becoming a Which Trusted Trader?
I think in a nutshell, and I appreciate you giving me 2 minutes to change my life here. the Trusted Traders scheme is all about quality, and it is all about standing out in that marketplace. So, if you are a good, honest tradesperson that does a good job, turns up when he says he's going to turn up, or her, does the job to a good standard, loves what they do, then in all honesty, this is the scheme for you. We're not a lead gen platform. We're not out to make the phone ring 100 times a day. It's all around quality with us, and it's all around helping you to stand out in an overcrowded marketplace against the guy down the road. You can stand there and you can say, I am Which approved. And to your customers, even if it doesn't mean anything to you as a tradesperson, you think, oh, I don't bother with that, or whatever it might be. It's not about the businesses. It's about what does your customer think? What does Mrs. Jones, who's looking at a rewire on her house, think? She doesn't know what trade bodies are typically. She won't know NIC or Stromer and Napit unless you're in that market. You're not going to have a clue what that is, you know, but they will know what Which is. And that's the thing, I think, that will set you apart when you're out quoting for business, when you're, you know, driving down Tesco in your van or whatever it might be. You've got that logo on there and it is recognised. It is trusted across the UK. And, you know, it's a positive buy-in signal for consumers that are out there. So if you've got it, it's just going to help you to stand out and win more business. It's the bottom line.
That was strong, Poppy. And I think the thing that I took away from that really is it's kind of irrelevant what you think of it as a trades professional. It's what the consumer thinks, because that's the person that is parting with cash. And as a marketer myself, it's all about conversion. It's how do you increase your chance of standing out and getting a better conversion. And on top of that, we also have a promotion for those of you that are part of the My Schneider Electricians portal. To benefit from that promotion, all you need to do is head over to that portal and log in, and you'll see a discount for 50% off the first 6 months of your Which Trusted Traders membership. So my call to action at the end of this podcast is, if you are interested in joining the Which Trusted Traders endorsement scheme, head over to the My Schneider Electrician portal, open the platform, and you will see in there a 50% off. Guys, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to leave our electrician audience with?
No, I think we've done it. Thank you for your time, Adam. It's been an absolute pleasure and fun as well. So yeah, I do appreciate that.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Poppy, Alex and Phil, thanks so much for your time. And guys, if you are listening to the show, do not forget to hit subscribe to get notified when the next podcast goes live. And we'll see you next time on the Electricians Podcast by our friends over at Schneider Electric. See you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you are enjoying this show, please leave a review. Hit subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes.